It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this Titanic Tuesday, the 13th day of September, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, most of the time, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you pop by the chat room right now, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Irish Dave and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he did fold space yesterday, has not folded space today because he is a third stage guild navigator, but he doesn't try to make a big deal out of it. Again, it is Titanic Tuesday, and we have titanic things to talk about today, titanic manifestations of right-wing intellect. But I want to start with something, something I learned in my youth. Namely, if you can't say anything good about someone, don't say anything at all. Kenneth Starr is dead. Let me say something good about that. Good. Yes, the nasty old pervert who wrote a pornographic account of a consensual sexual encounter back in the 1990s. Has gone to his long home. That is, the old pervert has actually joined the Pineapple Patrol down in the depths of the hot place, right alongside old the pill popping flush Flemball. I can hear the stunned grief emanating from the Horn Family Community Congregation. Yes, yes, I know. Not exactly all broken up, are we? Hardly. Well, and nonetheless, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is, in fact, no different. So that means we say thank you to our 13th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you to Gary and Gaia out in Oregon. Thank you so much. And thank you to Paul. Thank you very much indeed. When we left off yesterday evening, we had $30 to go in Darlene's challenge, which has just become the enjoy the barbecue Ken Starr challenge. I just named it that myself. Just finding a real... No. And, you know, but there's $30 left on that. Ralph's had a $50 challenge on the table. And that's great because the fundraising goal at this point in time is at $2,200. And that is brutal. Badly brutal. Dangerously so. Because, program note, you won't be hearing from me for a few days. I'm on the road. I'm traveling. I'm traveling on behalf of Cold River Mountain Watch. And I will be back here on Moran Monday. At least that's the way things look right now. I'm not taking the rig with me. So the only way I could really do anything would be via, you know, Facebook Live or something like that. So, kind of need to do a little play and catch up if we possibly can. In fact, just as I was and just as I was seeing the news of Ken Starr shuffling off this mortal coil down to the infernal reaches, Darlene sent me a note and said, "Holy shit, Ken Starr kicked the bucket. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Ew." And you know, truly, ew. And let's not remember. I mean, let's not sell Ken Starr short. Oh no, 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 no. He didn't just prove to be a slimy pervert during the Whitewater investigation. I mean, imagine, it started out as an investigation into a failed land deal, and somehow or another, the right-wing slime machine made it go on for years and years and years and tens of millions of dollars and wound up with the country being obsessed with a blue dress with a spooge stain on it. Yeah. But it wasn't. That wasn't all there was to Ken Starr. He wasn't just a filthy right wing apparatchik relative to the Whitewater investigation. No, 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 no. He was also a filthy right wing apparatchik when it came to women's bodies too. Because, for reasons passing understanding, if you're not a right wing they hired him to be the president of Baylor University, the Baylor Battling Baptists of Waco, Texas, where apparently he looked the other way, and you kind of wonder sometimes, if you ever wonder sometimes where it was that Jim Jacket Off Jordan got his inspiration when he was looking the other way, when young men who wrestled for The Ohio State University were getting routinely raped by the team doctor, look no further than Ken Starr, who looked the other way a lot when the men's athletic programs turned into rape programs and raped women at Baylor University. And Ken Starr said, "What? Huh? What do you mean? I don't know about that." And did everything he could to cover up those rapes. It goes without saying that Ken Starr was a Christian. Yes, yes. He breathed out and then didn't breathe in again. Today, at the age of 76, in Houston, and he dropped dead because of a botched surgery. Out of all places, I guess he stayed loyal. Baylor St. Luke's Medical Center in Houston, Texas. Darn the luck. I mean, this isn't, this doesn't even begin to approach how I will feel when, say, it's, Count Dicula, you know, Darth Cheney, Richard B. Dick Cheney before he dicks you. But still, that old saying, living well is the best revenge. Living is the best revenge. By Ken Starr, Bill Clinton is still alive. Monica Lewinsky is still alive. Hillary Clinton is still alive. And you, Ken Starr, you're fucking dead. Of course, we all travel that road in time. No matter who we are on planet Earth and however long this... You know, they say we'll have about 4 billion years total time, and it doesn't matter if the story of Methuselah in the Old Testament is true and he lived to be 970-some-odd years old. Methuselah has still spent a lot more time on planet Earth being dead than he has being alive. And that's going to count for everybody right up to the point where the sun turns this little planet into a hunk of charcoal. It's just how things work, I guess. I haven't had any luck at all scrounging up a sad. And Darlene adds, don't forget, Monica stated in an interview article that Starr approached her at an event and was coming on to her. She was totally creeped out and couldn't wait to get away from him. Ow. Those don't hit me very often. I just had a full body cringe. Ugh. Ooh. Because of course he did. Our buddy Christopher in Oregon says, Ken Starr graduates to Pineapple Patrol. So nice to hear Ken Starr's graduated. I'm sure he's experienced the joys of grilled pineapple. It's just going to be a little different for him from now on. And, you know, don't know if they'll bother to take the core out. Or, you know, the top, the spiky part. Hey, thank you, Christopher. Christopher just jumped in and got fundraising started for the evening. I fucking love you, Robin. Everyone, if you can, please chip in $5. Thank you, Christopher. That is so kind. That is so very kind. And so, there is $25 to go on Darlene's challenge. And then we've got Ralph's. And then we'll see if maybe we can get this thing down below $2,000. And yeah. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. Flavio said, well, you listen to this program, Flavio. How the fuck am I supposed to know Ken Starr popped off? Don't say popped off. There are too many potential meanings there. All they're talking about until the 19th is E2 and Chuck. Henry Kissinger better not die until the 19th or I'll miss the celebrations, damn it. That's an interesting question. Where would be the best place to celebrate the death of Henry Kissinger? Santiago, Chile? Buenos Aires? Washington, D.C.? Saigon? Laos, Cambodia. So many opportunities. You know, and the Republicans get so upset, and they think that the liberals and the Hillary Clinton are out there drinking baby blood for the adrenochrome, and Henry Kissinger is still alive. Y'all, I don't think you're paying attention. Honest to God, I don't. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Starr. I could have gone my entire life without knowing Bill's Johnson bent to the left if it wasn't for Ken. Good riddance. And I will add to bad rubbish. And a horrible lawyer. And remember, in many ways, he helped foist upon us that that guy who really loves beer and having his mortgage paid off by shadowy right-wing donors and his credit cards zeroed out and his baseball and habit paid for and his hot dogs. And yeah, I'm talking about Brett Kavanaugh, who loves the precious little fetuses so very, very much. Yes, he does. Because remember, it was Brat who was on the Ken Starr team and advised bringing up and bringing out every last filthy, salacious detail that they could manufacture. You know, if it weren't for if it weren't for the likes of Ken Starr and Brett Kavanaugh, I don't know, maybe Ann Coulter wouldn't have been braying on air somewhere. Whatever happened to her? Bill and Hillary decorated their Christmas tree with Bill's used condoms. It seems so long ago, and yet it was just like yesterday. But speaking of salacious details, and because we somehow managed to bring up a favored talking point of the cue balls, you know, one of the principal. Sorry about my voice. One of the principal things that the cue balls like to go on about is how the coin. Remember, she was already dead. She'd been executed by a military tribunal. And yet here we are, forwarded from Donald Trump WWG1WGA, and that combination tells you that we're dealing with cue balls. Where we go one, we go all. There's a picture of now King Chuck signing a proclamation of some sort of royal decree or document. But wait till you hear the caption. King Charles III signs a proclamation stating that Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election and is the rightful president by law, capital L, law, warns Biden and Kamala to vacate the premises within 48 hours, or a state of war will exist between America and England. So what, just England? Wales and Northern Ireland and Scotland are going to take a flyer on this one? Jesus, those people. Holy crap. Well, this is the same crowd that thinks JFK Jr. is gonna be back any day now. Because Q, oh dear, so all told, as far as Titanic Tuesday is concerned, it's not a terrible day. Lee in New York on Ken Starr says, Republicans will do anything to avoid a subpoena. Wait, was there a subpoena sent to him? So many Republicans are getting subpoenas. I lose track. But there's another little moment out there. Yeah, we've had a Lady G sighting. Oh, goodness me. Yeah, Precious Lindsay emerged from underneath the fainting couch down to the ancestral estate at Smoldering Chode. I want to make sure I get this absolutely correct. Lindsay has decided that what we need here in America right now is a nationwide ban on abortions after 15 weeks. That broke today. He said earlier on his 15-week abortion ban, he said, "I think the public's with us." And, well, I'm not that well-versed, but I'm learning. You know, there are different kinds of subcultures in the gay community, and there are some guys that refer to themselves as bears. They tend to be big and burly and with beards and they're, you know, they kind of come off with some machismo. But that's your average bear with his 15-week abortion ban proposal today. Lindsay outed himself as a bear as well, but he's a different kind of bear. He's a pander bear. I will accept cowbells for that. Oh, what a jackass. Let's see. Corinne Jean-Pierre, White House spokesperson, said, "Today, Senator Graham introduced a national ban on abortion, which would strip away women's rights in all 50 states. This bill is wildly out of step with what Americans believe." She added, "While President Biden and Vice President Harris are focused on the historic passage of the Inflation Reduction Act to reduce the cost of prescription drugs, health care, and energy, and to take unprecedented action to address climate change, Republicans in Congress are focused on taking rights away from millions of women." Meanwhile, the Biden administration and Democrats in Congress, she pointed out, are committed to restoring the protections of Roe v. Wade. And Nancy Pelosi, who of course is nowhere near ideologically pure enough, nonetheless added, "The nationwide abortion ban proposal put forth today is the latest, clearest signal of extreme MAGA Republicans' intent to criminalize women's health freedom in all 50 states and arrest doctors for providing basic care. Make no mistake, if Republicans get the chance, they will work to pass laws even more draconian than this bill, just like the bans they have enacted in states like Texas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma." Not that anybody's ever going to have to worry about being... Well, never mind. That's just catty, Robin. Stop it. Darlene adds, "Things that make you go, ew." Yeah, old Kenny was seductively caressing Monica's elbow and arm. Let me anchor that with another L. P.S. Bent to the left, and to think that all these years I was blissfully unaware... Until not. Thanks a lot, Robin and Matt, for telling me something I never needed to know. My naivete continues to be squashed to a bloody pulp. Here, let me add a third one for you, darling. Ew. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lee. Robin, have yourself a cowbell for Pander Bear. And apparently, the pandering, well, Lindsay's pandering. I saw a story almost immediately after the program was over last night out of Rolling Stone. And somebody ran the numbers on what the people dropping nickels and dimes and dollar bills and Finns and Hamiltons and Benjamins in the plate at Sunday Mass are actually doing with it. No, it's not Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but this was these are some whopping big numbers. Back on August the 2nd, when Kansans went to the polls and did not just say, oh no, but oh hell no, to stripping away protections for abortion from the Kansas state constitution, the biggest loser, the Rolling Stone article points out, was the Roman Catholic Church. Because the Roman Catholic Church, which of course is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, never pays taxes, supposedly follows a mission of mercy and compassion, you know, that whole house the homeless, feed the hungry, heal the sick, visit the people in prison stuff that Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi went on about. Well, no. Ask yourself, here's an interesting question. What could $3.18 million do for people who lack homes in Kansas? For people who are food insecure in Kansas? For people who are sick in Kansas? Or people who are perhaps unjustly imprisoned in Kansas? Well, the answer is not a damn thing, because the Catholic Archdiocese of Kansas City spent that $3.18 million on trying to strip away the rights of women who aren't even Catholic in the state of Kansas. The Catholic Diocese of Wichita chipped in a cool $652,355. And the Diocese of Salina, Kansas, ponied up $175,000. And tens of thousands of dollars more rolled in from various little churches here and there around the state of Kansas. The Kansas Catholic Conference was good for $275,000. It was described as an absolutely stunning wad of cash. But there's going to be so much more spent. The Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative that's on the ballot that we talked about, that our pal Joy in Ann Arbor apprised us of last week. Well, the Catholic Conference in Michigan has said they're good for $200,000, and that's the biggest kick so far to the effort to reduce every single person capable of pregnancy in the state of Michigan to subservient status. In Vermont, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Burlington is going to take $50,000 and throw that toward Vermonters for Good Government, which is actually just an AstroTurf front group for people who, again, want to reduce women to sub-citizen status in the name of the Pope at Rome. because Vermont has a right to personal reproductive autonomy amendment on the ballot in November. Then there's Kentucky Stan, where there's an outfit called Yes for Life. Don't really know what that means. It doesn't have anything to do with feeding the hungry or housing the homeless or clothing the naked or anything like that. No, it's just a bunch of fetus fetishists, and the Kentucky Catholic Conference has given them $36,000 so far. And as the hymn that we usually play on Wednesdays go, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. So there's an outfit called Catholics for Choice. And they did some digging around in the numbers and found that over the seven-year period between 2014 and 2021, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and outfits associated with them have given at least $10 million to lobby lawmakers in a little handful of states like, Montana Stan, where the Montana Catholic Conference lobbied for five bills, and four of them were related to abortion, including the referendum to adopt the Montana Born Alive Infant Protection Act. And that piece of legislation set up a ballot initiative that voters will weigh in on this fall. And it gives legal rights to infants born alive at any stage of development. You know, brain, no brain, skull, no skull, head, no, right. And most interestingly, Catholics for Choice and Jamie Manson says that all of these outlays go against the opinion of the majority of Roman Catholics in the United States. That's at least somewhat reassuring. As far back as 2019, the Pew Research outfit discovered that 68% of Catholics in the U.S. opposed overturning Roe. 56% of Catholics in the U.S. think that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. And, of course, this little fact. Fully 25% of people seeking abortions in the United States are Roman Catholics. That according to the Guttmacher Institute. Jamie Manson added, Catholics are always well left of center on all of these issues having to do with sexuality, and they're governed by church leaders who are fringe hard right. These issues of sexual reproductive health are profound issues of social justice, and the Catholic laity sees it, but the bishops just refuse to see it. Tell me again why they should be tax-exempt when they're trying to turn the United States into a Roman Catholic theocracy. Because they are. I mean, that's not an extreme position after Dobbs. Anyone who cannot see that is willfully refusing to see that. There's no overarching public policy reason to keep a woman from exercising autonomy over the reproductive processes of her body. Any more than there's a public policy reason to stop people with appendicitis from having appendectomies. Or kids with sore throats from having tonsillectomies. And yet, there they are, and they get away with it. Because if anyone dared raise the prospect of stripping an outfit with such a horrible record, a horrifying record of abuse and corruption, as the Roman Catholic Church stripping them of their tax-exempt status, that legislator would probably put their own lives in jeopardy. And just because, well, close to home, this little tidbit. Hi, Tamara. Going back to Ken Starr and Monica, Tamara says, "Ew, Darlene, what's the opposite of a cowbell?" I know. Maybe it's a... No, let's not make those noises. No, not at all. Oh, where'd it go? Oh, just so you know, even though Lindsey Graham introduced his little old 15-week abortion ban nationwide, he had previously said, "Y'all, now the issue of abortion should be left to the states." And then he did this. Yeah, he said it should be left up to the states 5 weeks ago. But he said it's not a real abortion ban. It's a late term abortion ban, because apparently late term is now defined by Lady G as 15 weeks. And just for anyone keeping track, late term abortion is not even a medical term. It's a political term. He went on to give a news conference about it. Mercy sakes alive, he did.
Here's what I would say. The world pretty much has spoken on this issue. The developed world has said at this stage into the pregnancy, the child feels pain, and we're saying
the world said that
we're going to join the rest of the world and not be like Iran. As to your particular case, there'll be exceptions for life of the mother and rape and incest.
There are no exceptions in this bill.
Well, ma'am, this there are 55,000 abortions after the 15-week period, and I think we're resolved to get America back in line with the rest of the world, and we won't know where America is until we vote, until we debate. And so to my Democratic friends, you're going around calling all of us every name you can think of.
Pissant fascist.
Your idea is wacko, not ours. Let's vote. Let's vote. Give me a chance to vote on this bill. We'll take her considerations and we'll vote. Now, I guarantee if we have a debate on the floor of the United States Senate where we can explain what we're doing versus what they would do, we'll do really well with the American people. And over time, God willing, we're going to be like the rest of the world and not like Iran at the federal level when it comes to abortion. We're going nowhere. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, it's particularly telling that Lindsey, at least, had the strategic vision to have some women folk there behind him at the podium. And the woman who asked the question was Mimi Timuraju, president of NARAL Pro-Choice America. Actually, she issued a statement. She said, let's be clear what a bill like this would do. It could put a ban on abortion in place in every state in our country, including blue states that have laws protecting abortion rights and access on the books. This is about who gets to decide what's right for our lives and our families. Should it be a person who's pregnant or Lindsey Graham and MAGA Republicans? And by the way, his blathering there about, you know, we'll have it for rape and incest. Yeah, that what it says in there is that exemption exists, or that exception exists, but any person who is pregnant by rape or incest has to get counseling or medical treatment for the rape before they can ever get the abortion itself. And little teenagers, you know, just imagine this in the case of incest. They have they can get their abortion too if they've run to the cops and said, you know, my daddy fucked me and I'm pregnant now. That's asking a lot of a 13-year-old little girl. So he thinks that this is going to be a big campaign winner for him. They're going to love it. The folks are going to love it back in South Carolina, Stan. I kind of wonder about that one South Carolina state senator who said that he wouldn't have anything to do with any more abortion bans. That did not have outright exemptions for rape and incest in it. Oh well. I want that sets up and just because these exemptions aren't exemptions. Like I said, here closer to home, writing for the Washington Post, Katie Shepard. Delivers the tragic news that the West Virginia legislature, filled to bursting with gabbling, babbling, burbling, galumphing white men, white Republican men, has become the second state in the union to pass an almost total ban on a woman's right to control the workings of her own reproductive system. The bill passed in the Senate of West Virginia 22-7 after what can only be described as minimal debate. In the state house, in the House of Representatives, where I'd hope to sit next year, it was 78-17. It will, of course, be signed into law by Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, who in no way, shape, form, or fashion has any desire to interfere with the rights of a white man to interfere with the rights of all the women folk. It's not supported in West Virginia. There were huge protests at the governor's picnic on yesterday. It was legal. Abortion was legal up to 20 weeks since it was declared to be so back in July. But now, 90 days from it being signed into law, women in West Virginia are second-class citizens, if that. And they compromised, the legislature did, over penalties for doctors who perform abortions. And what they said is, well, this will ban abortion from implantation with only the narrowest exceptions for the life of the pregnant person or in rape or incest. But again, only if the little 13-year-old girl goes to the cops and says, Mr. Officer Friendly, I need to make a police report so I can get an abortion. Well, what is it, sugar? My daddy fucked me. Well, you run along home to daddy, and we'll investigate that. And if you happen to have been raped or incested on, you can only have your abortion after you've reported it to the cops. Up to 8 weeks of pregnancy. But if you're under 18, you get 14 weeks. Then they said maybe they won't prosecute the doctors. They'll just take away their medical licenses. But if you're a nurse practitioner or anybody but an MD who has hospital admitting privileges and you do an abortion, you're going to be charged with a felony and sent up the river for a nice long time. Well, for all those good Christian ladies who are out there eagerly anticipating their babies, good luck finding an obstetrician in this state, Ms. MAGA. Senate Minority Leader Stephen Baldwin, who happens to be my senator, I mean, not mine personally, but even, said, asked of the people in his body, I mean, in the Senate, he said, you're not concerned we could lose docs who are practicing obstetrics because of this? And said, you know, we've had a lot of time where we could have involved doctors, but now today we're going to vote on this, and they haven't had time to read it. Well, they don't need to read it. But State Senator Tom Takubo said, well, no, we fixed all that. We done said we're not going to prosecute them. I think once they read what's in this amendment, why not let them read it first? Oh, no, no. They might get all uppity and say that they're going to pack their bags and leave. I think once they read what's in this amendment, they'll feel comfortable. I feel this protects those physicians. Tom Takubo has some feelings, y'all. I feel this protects those physicians who are not trying to violate the law. You know, not trying. Lord God. But here's the funny part. They went ahead and voted for it, but there was Republicans in the West Virginia legislature who thought it wasn't harsh enough. It didn't put the women's in their place good enough. State Senator Eric Tarr wanted people to vote no on the new language. He said, I'm confident this bill shuts down the abortion clinic. I'm also torn and disappointed that my vote now is to decide when do you execute an innocent. If life is sacred, when does it become sacred? Well, bub in your case. It is absolutely sickening. And the funny thing is, we had to have special sessions for this. This couldn't wait until the regular session of the legislature. Oh no. They had to be the hogs had to get their front and back feet in the trotters in the trough during a special session Because, well, here in West Virginia, we're just rolling in money. God, I haven't been to Charleston during this this little time frame, but I bet it's damned hard to find a half-decent bottle of booze or a dozen shrimp. Is absolutely repugnant. And of course, remember, Joe to the mansion born is, he's personally pro-life. So, you know, just another day and the hillbilly paradise. Thank you, Don, up in British Columbia. Thank you for jumping in and helping out in this massive hole that we find ourselves in. We are done now with Darlene in Connecticut's challenge, and we are $25 halfway into Ralph's challenge. I cannot tell you how much I do appreciate that, Don. Thank you so much. We all do. Everybody who listens to this program appreciates the willingness of those who are willing to keep it on the air. If I could do it by myself, I would. I can't. Back to Precious Lindsay talking about the rest of the world, not the Iran. John in southern Minnesota says, the rest of the world, funny how smoldering Chode wants to emulate the world with anti-abortion rhetoric. Why can we emulate the rest of the world by having universal health care? How about, could we do that? And of course, a lot of those rest of the world that he's citing make it a lot easier for women to access contraceptive care. But remember, those are silent abortions. Yeah, I know. And Ron and Raleigh with a note. When I was a kid, I remember when JFK was running for president, how all the Protestants were pitching a bitch about how a Catholic president would replace the Constitution with Catholic dogma. I want to know when the hell all these Protestants decided that the Catholics were the ones to make a legal decision on women's rights. Don't these people realize that this is about what religious people want? Religious freedom has become what all laws are based on. Lauren Bobblehead Boobert wants to institute a Bible test for American citizenship. This from a woman who that failed, i.e. didn't graduate from high school and failed her GED twice before passing it on the third try. Is that what they call social promotion, Ron? Is that the participation trophy? Well, Abraham Lincoln didn't have no GED. Yeah, I know. So, we're very nearly done with the first hour of the program, and that being the case, let's run over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
So, thank you to Don and Chris and Jude and whoever else, I apologize if I forgot, for meeting my challenge. So as soon as I get off the phone with you, I will put in the $100.
Well, thank you, darling.
You're welcome, and I'd like to see a situation where, you know, that massive hole is resolved before you leave. And it would be nice if there was some money in the bank when you get back. So, you know, putting a call out, a shout out, you know me, I've always donated to your program.
It's been yes.
In the last couple of years. But, you know, so I'm in a position to say, yo, people, please, you know, send some support Robin's way. And you know me, I'm not a big fan of Friday on the Front Porch, but maybe because tomorrow you're still having a show tomorrow, right?
No, I'm on the road.
Oh, you're on the road already. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because the thing starts early on Thursday, so there's no way for me to leave here on Thursday and get there in time.
I see. So we're seeing men's continued war on women. You know, and of course we don't have solid proof. Lindsey Graham is a member of the LGBTQIA blah blah community. But if he is a gay male, then he is clearly a misogynistic gay male. And all the self-hating women standing behind him should all go pound sand. And some creep from the media asked Karine Jean-Pierre today in a press conference, you know, if there was if there's any room, you know, for Biden to negotiate. Fucking Senator Lady G there to pass this goddamn bill. The audacity to even ask that. And of course she's like, you know, she had her standard lines that, you know, to respond. It's like, there better be not a single Democrats cannot yield on anything with this. That's it. You know, minus your senator being an asshole, they just can't. And I think what this shows is this is because it works, or at least, you know, we all know Republicans, they don't work, right? So they're constantly throwing out bullshit, waste, you know, time wasting bills and things that so government doesn't work. So this to me is a huge, you know, signal that this is going to go the way of the ACA in terms of Republicans constantly throwing bill after bill after bill out there to do a national ban. It's like they did to tank the ACA, and we know they were partially successful. So this is part of that strategy. We're going to be seeing this, you know,
yeah,
ad nauseam.
No, and it's repeated time after time after time in every one of these culture war theaters, if you will. Lady G didn't introduce this in good faith. He introduced this because he wants to create, I guess, PR. Well, hell, he's not even on the ballot in South Carolina this year. You know, it's another.
I'm still confused. Yeah.
Well, it one of the things that popped into my mind, because it always does, is every time Lindsey Graham does something, I wonder what's in the RNC server that got hacked and not released by the Russian troll farm. And I wonder who's able to pull his strings. Because, see, Mitch McConnell was not fond of what Lindsey did. Because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to remind people what the Republicans are about relative to the rights of women in America.
Yeah. It just, to me, like, it came out of the blue. Or should I say out of the red?
Yeah.
In the case of the Republicans, because I wasn't expecting this until, like, you know, after November. I mean, you know, they were, you know, McConnell in a sense kind of blew their cover by bringing that out about a national ban. But this really surprised me. I'm like, huh? You know, this kind of came out of left. Well, right field, quite frankly. And it's like, what is this about? Is this about, you know, is this about, you know, and Chuck Schumer was right there to counter it, you know, saying, make no mistake, this is a, you know, this is a full ban on, he said, abortion rights, or the right to choose, you know, I prefer to say women's privacy rights. Or people get pregnant.
Yeah,
and
good,
women's
no,
privacy
good, no, that's good framing.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to continue to do that, because even my governor, who has a, you know, a good friend of mine who, I got to actually text him and see if he got hired to work on Lamont's campaign. said, you know, he almost lost to Bob Stefanowski, who's running against him now. And in one of Lamont's commercials, you know, that Lamont is going to protect a woman's right to choose. I'm like, oh, you know, you should have said, you know, women's privacy rights, you know, really hammer that home. So he missed an opportunity in his ads to call this a matter of privacy. You know, what Ruth Bader, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg had said and counseled us to basically say that this really boils down to privacy. And certainly medical freedom and medical care, but which are, that's all linked, obviously, in terms of what you can discuss with your doctors. Hopefully Lamont will get reelected, and we don't, because I mean, you know, does any woman with, you know, a brain think that they can trust any Republican to keep their promise? Because here in Connecticut, they're all saying, the Republicans outside of the nutcase that Trump endorsed, that Laura Loomy or whatever her name is, they were all saying, like, the one, you know, Bob Stefanowski and his, you know, so-called lieutenant governor, which doesn't exist because he's not in office. That's one of his commercials I had mentioned to you before. And also Themis Claridis, you know, the one that sounds like an antihistamine. They were all basically saying,
Hold on, wait a minute. You can't do that. The man who sounds like an antihistamine.
Well, yeah, that's Themis Claridis. She's the woman. She sounds like an antihistamine. I mean, they're all here, the Republicans in Connecticut that are running. She was, she lost the primary. But, you know, and I thought she was, you know, pretty awful. But the one that Trump supported is even far worse. You know, they're all saying they support a woman's right to choose. Now, you know, again, good or forbid, if they wind up getting in office, I don't trust that they're going to maintain that. They're liars. That's another thing that Democrats should come out with, is say, do you really trust any Republican that claims that they support, you know, a woman's right to choose? Okay, because Republicans are not going to say privacy rights. Do you really believe they're going to maintain that promise? No. No, their brand is so damaged. There's no way any of us would even believe that. I don't even, you've got to be fucking stupid to believe, to trust anything that they say. So I'm wondering if he's more or less putting, I mean, he's put his colleagues, Lady G there, has put his colleagues in an interesting position in terms of the GOP side. And the articles are saying, you know, that the GOP is stunned by this, because he's more or less getting them to go on the record as to where they really stand.
It's interesting because if you take a look at, for instance, what Mitch McConnell said, he was approached by reporters today, Darlene, and he said, well, I think the issue should be left up to the states, and the most members of my conference agree. And so what they're so what they're doing is they're playing bad cop, worst cop. You know, maybe by accident of birth or travel, there might be some women in America who can have full citizenship rights, but if if by accident of birth you were born in Alabama or Mississippi or West Virginia or et cetera, well, too bad, you're fucked. But Kim in New York just opined with something that I think is salient here. Kim said, I think the Republicans are getting nervous about November. So the main reason Lindsey's introducing this legislation is to mobilize the conservative, far-right religious freaks to vote. I guess he doesn't realize that it will hopefully mobilize the rest of us. Well, he thinks there's more of them than there are of us, but I think that's a cogent observation. And, you know, for how many years have I talked about abortion being used to drag them, you know, drag them out from behind the baseboards so they can scurry off to the polls and vote for the little fetuses?
Yeah, Kim is correct, because that's the undercurrent that I'm sensing as well, that they think, they being Lindsey you know, Lady G and, you know, the Turtle era and others, that they have the upper hand in terms of numbers, when that's not the case. You know, Kansas certainly showed us that. And of course, as I had said before, concerning, you know, my, you know, what's happening in my state and those that are running on the Republican side, I mean, come on, you know, it's up to the site, says, you know, Mitch McConnell, but we all know he's a fucking liar. And if they do manage to gain the Senate and the House come November, perish the thought, we know he's going to backtrack immediately. He's a fucking liar. He wants that national ban more than anything. You know, he's, you know, as sleazy as he is smart politically. He fucked up by showing their hand. He got, I'm kind of surprised at that he blew their cover with the national ban thing. Why, you know, that's an interesting question. It's, you know, why did Mitch McConnell reveal that prematurely? Why did he, you know, so it could go back to what Tim is alluding to, what you had stated outright, is that, you know, they think there's more than, maybe Kim said that directly, that they think there's more of them that want the ban. But to me, that was a huge political miscalculation on the part of Mitch McConnell. And of course, Democrats have jumped all over that. And, you know, I want to say on the one hand, thank goodness, that, you know, Joe Biden, if his health continues, and, you know, we've got it for two more years to veto any bullshit that the Senate tries to throw forward, if it's a Republican-controlled Senate after November or come next January, thank goodness. But, you know, I am a little queasy on it because Joe, he does, although he's been dark Brandon lately, which is great. Joe does have a pattern or patterning of pulling the rug out from underneath people. And, you know, the bullshit with that judge that, you know, the backroom deal that he made with McConnell via the pro-abortion judge, Monta something. That guy, you know, which they retracted it right away, but Joe can fuck up big time on things like that. So, you know, the fact that it was even suggested to Karine that, you know, oh, well, you know, it sounds like there's some, like, there's even some room to negotiate this. Are you fucking kidding me? He made a promise to us that he would veto it. I remember him saying that recently. He will veto any legislation taking away the woman, a woman's choice. So, you know, he better fucking hold to that, and there better be no goddamn compromise. Okay? I don't even want to hear, you know, a Hillary Clinton bullshit of, well, I don't agree with abortion, but, you know, whatever. No more
of that legal, no more of that legal, safe, and rare horseshit.
Yeah. Bullshit. Yeah. Just no. Like you said, you know, maybe it's high time for women to just claim it and say, there's nothing to be ashamed about here. You know?
Well, in light of the fact that the majority of women who get abortions already have kids, I don't know what's so hard to understand about that. You know, huge families, especially families contribute to poverty. We do not support families in this country. For a brief shining moment in the middle of a deadly pandemic, we lowered the child poverty and child hunger rate to something approaching that of the rest of the so-called developed world. And then the Republicans had a fit. We can't have that. That's communism. And, of course, Joe Manchin did, too. He was afraid that mommy and daddy would go out and spend the money on a new hunting rifle or some dope.
Or asparagus.
But the fact of the matter is, there's a conversation to be had in this context. And any woman who has ever used a pill can speak with authority on it, and that is that it has long-term effects. And, you know, when you've got a couple of kids, maybe you'd like to go off it, but you don't want to have a baby every time you decide to have sex. And there's no problem with that. You know, there are, I can pull up stories, you know, you know, the religious goobers like, children are a blessing from God. Well, I've got a story here that I had a couple of days ago, I don't have it immediately to hand, about a cue ball who murdered his wife and his family before he murdered himself. How was that family, how were those children blessed?
And he's a fucking control freak. He was abusing the woman, guaranteed.
Oh, sure.
And he couldn't handle a lack of control. You know, it's just like the story I told you, you know, about the doulos there. Hilo's doulos there. They still haven't found her body. Rich as fuck, Jennifer, you know, it was all about control.
There's one of those stories every week, you know. Some daddy who beats a 3-year-old boy to death because he thinks he's going to be queer. I mean, this shit happens in America, and all I can say is that we have to acknowledge that the one person who can decide whether a child should enter the world is the woman who is the pregnant person who is carrying it.
Like I said before, they just want women. They want people to be pregnant, preoccupied, and poor. So if you've got 5, 6 kids and counting, well, I don't have to tell you that. You know the story of your grandma.
Yeah,
right? She was ready to basically kill herself.
She wanted to die.
I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, it just adds insult to injury to have Lindsey Graham even do that. And those self-hating women behind him, fuck them. Fuck them. You know what? Fine. You want that added? That's fine. If you want to sit there and save the babies, you go ahead. Just keep your bullshit out of my life. It's not for you to decide this.
No. Not in the least.
And I know you and I disagree. He fucking needs to be outed. You and I disagree. I know.
No. Lindsey should have been outed yesterday. But the
piece of shit.
Because you know he has taken stances that are directly inimical to the larger LGBTQ+IA community.
Can I ask you this? Let me throw this out to the hornless ears as well.
Okay.
I was watching C-SPAN. Lindsey was, finally the House fucking, you know, had a session today besides just a pro forma BS. It's like, when the hell are they going to actually be in session after all this time? I find that a bit infuriating, but I digress. But the Senate was holding something... I don't know. I think it was something about cybersecurity or whatever. He mentioned that, you know, he and Elizabeth Warren are working on some sort of a bill together. And he's kind of mockingly said, you know, it's hard to believe that me and Elizabeth Warren, that I would absolutely, I don't see eye to eye with her at all, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I believe that was before, I don't know the timing in terms of when he came out with his little 15-week, you know, abortion ban, so-called late term. But is it, you know, in light of this, is it out of line to say, yo, you know, kind of like one of those Jesus Barack moments, you know, where you kind of sit, you know, slap him in the back of the head, say, yo, Elizabeth, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you working with this asshole? Amy Klobuchar. Why are you working with him? to me, it seems, and I'm not there, you know, you have to work with those people across the aisle to get certain things passed. But in light of this, doesn't it seem almost, doesn't it kind of put the likes of an Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar kind of in a hypocritical
In any other organization but the Senate of the United States, yes. But in the Senate, where you have to, at least for the time being, in most instances, come up with 60 votes to get over a filibuster, you will make deals with the devil, and hence we get that ancient axiom that politics makes strange bedfellows. Mm-hmm.
And makes you want to bleach, shower in Clorox, shower and bleach afterwards. But it just, to me, it's like, you know, he's placed them in a very awkward position. But I guess both of them can step up there, or Elizabeth, and, you know, Elizabeth is a capitalist, mind you. Elizabeth, you know, probably will say, I totally and utterly disagree with this. But, she hasn't said that, but, you know, it's just, it's sticky. I would love to hear people's opinions on this, but in the name of bipartisanship, you know, versus a woman's privacy rights, he's more or less pitting the two against one another, quite frankly. That's the question I had to throw out there, because I was like, oh, man, you know? And I was a little stunned with what I saw today. So just to kind of shift the subject real quick, because it's obviously, you know, sure, a big deal on the world stage, but where are they at with QE2's never-ending funeral?
Well,
Are they doing the miracle bio yet, or what? Yeah, are they?
They're going to drag her carcass 3 times around, 30 times around the carcass, or around the ruins of ancient Troy. The noble Trojan of old. What was his name? Achilles versus, Hector.
I don't know.
But no, I saw a story earlier today where, to paraphrase Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, they have hauled her carcass to Buckingham Palace for the latest installation of the Grateful Dead show.
Well,
I'm sorry.
If anyone would probably completely chagrin what they're doing, it probably would be her. She'd probably be like, "Get, oh, for fuck's sake, put me in the ground, goddamn it!" I could totally see her doing that. She could, but I'm curious. I guess they said she was quote unquote in an oak coffin, is what I read. And you know, she's out there kind of hanging in that thing in the regular wet weather. I assume that technology has advanced wherein that they can keep her body cold.
I'm a longtime fan of Mark Twain. And it's moments like this that I'm reminded of a short story of his, probably written in your beloved Connecticut, called The Invalid's Tale.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
About a man who volunteers to take the body of a dearly departed friend across country back home to be buried in his native soil. And it's cold and it's the dead of winter. And someone has mistakenly left an open container of Limburger cheese. and the conversation between the conductor in the car and the future invalid And eventually they're breaking windows out of the caboose and hanging their heads out in 20 below. And the colonel's getting a mite powerful, ain't he? So I've got a picture here of her box. It's draped with a flag that has the Plantagenet lions on it, and it's a fully glass sided station wagon. So everybody can see the casket. Queen Elizabeth II's coffin has arrived at Buckingham Palace after being transported from West London's RAF Northolt Air Base by car. The Queen's family received the coffin on its arrival at the palace, where it will rest in the bow room tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to British royalty, when it comes to, you know, they and the royal channel or whatever, you know, it's always the minutiae that is elevated. It's interesting, and I want to be respectful because I do feel bad. I do. I feel bad. I haven't known life without Queen Elizabeth. As an American, we're not supposed to be big on royalty. But, you know, she ascended to the throne, 1950? So I was born about 15, well, not about. I was born 15 years late, so I'm aging myself here. I haven't known life without her. Unless you're probably in your mid to late 70s and above, you have known life without her, at least a very short period of time, and witnessed her coronation. So she's been around a long time, and the British people are hurting.
Would you believe me if I told you that I had family who traveled to Merry Old England to witness the coronation?
I wouldn't be surprised. And you're Scottish, right?
I had an extremely wealthy great uncle, and he and his wife, who was the sister of my grandmother, went to the coronation. Because of course they did.
Wow, actually. Wow.
But
of course they did. Well, and I want to be respectful. You know, I don't want to be. You know, one of the things I'll obviously learn through your program, which is why people should support your program, is that we're always in that hazy gray area, right? It's always sort of the nuance. You know, I can feel bad. I can send condolences, which I have. I friends out in England. But I can also be, you know, realistic about the British royalty and the horror that it's brought.
It absolutely has. And it's worth noting that
the greatest
value of the British monarchy now is, you know, they're a tourist attraction. Hey, look. Oh, I think I glimpsed her. I mean, I remember going to the zoo in Pittsburgh one time, and they had a cheetah. And it was like, oh, I want to see the cheetah. And there was this jungle, you know, jungle enclosure and everything. It's like, where's the cheetah? Oh, did we not tell you? The cheetahs are very private animals, and they generally don't like to be seen. So I'm not going to see the cheetah? Probably not. They come out very rarely.
It's kind of so what's the point in keeping it, you know, in captivity? I'm just saying. But go ahead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy Radar just said, oh, you're going to regret that when QE2 rises from the grave in 3 days. Dr. Fate from Earth 2 is working on her remains as we speak.
Well, then, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, Matt in San Francisco said, I think the Queen's coffin has an extended Mike's warranty. No.
Say what?
I think the Queen's coffin has an extended warranty. God.
That's funny.
And you know, so many people grew up with, I mean, there are literally people of the same, you know, who, like, as you pointed out, grew up with her. And so she was very much the Commonwealth. And it's so odd that some of the countries that were the most brutally oppressed by the British royal family signed on to the Commonwealth, and the idea of her at its head. And it's truly mind bending. Kenya, for God's sakes.
Well, first of all, we had a similar conversation, and we you invoked Samuel Clemens and the story about the invalid when RBG shuffled off his mold of foil, as you say.
I spend a lot of time thinking about Twain.
Well, Twain's excellent, although there's some interesting issues with him and young girls, but I digress, and maybe we could talk about that someday. Either the coffin is really not of oak, either they have some kind of cooling or freezing unit that is in that coffin that works. Or when they say, that's working around the clock, so she can be kind of out there, parading around. Or when they say that, they're keeping vigil by her side, that she was at Holyrood House.
Yeah, Holyrood.
She's in the freezer while they, so that the body's being
What's the queen
cold.
Doing? I mean, just chilling.
Probably. She's just chilling.
The murder hornets in hell are stacking up for both of us, right? Brother Deacon,
yes.
Brother Deacon
oh,
X
yes,
is
definitely.
Keeping count, yeah.
But, I do feel bad. I mean, I it is on my mind because, one day this day is going to come. And I think, as far as monarchs go, I think she was rather progressive, or certainly became more progressive over time. And I think that people really liked her. I think a lot of the Commonwealth countries really liked her. But now, I think that Charles is going to have a tumultuous reign, because there's things coming out about various African nations that are part of the Commonwealth, Australia recently. Like, I just read this article, saw the headline today. Did I read the article? I can't even remember. But where people are like, they want complete freedom from Britain. I think they don't like Charles. I mean,
you know who they really don't like? You know who they really don't like, Darlene?
Camilla.
Camilla.
Yeah.
And I know Camilla. It's probably anti-feminist, but oh gosh.
No, she's not likable. Let me, there's a friend. I'll read to you what this person wrote, because I sent them. I'm going to use a gender neutral term because I don't want to reveal who they are, their gender. But I said, look, I misunderstood this individual. I thought this individual was anti-royal. This person lives in Britain, and I extended my condolences to them. And I said, look, I know you're not big on royalty, but I know this is a big change event for your country, and I want to extend my condolences. This is what they wrote back to me. I'm going to put you on speaker for a second.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
You're fine.
All right. So, and they had a bit of advice. Okay. So, this is what they said. Yes. They referred to the Queen as Liz. Yes, Liz had been there throughout my lifetime as well. I do think He massively changed the image of the British royal family, and mostly for the better. I will actually miss her and dread the concept of that effed Charlie taking the throne along with his wicked witch at his side. Liz and Anne were the best of the family, and Philip was always good for a laugh. I'm not anti-royal, but just don't go in for all this flag-waving stuff. I'm always amazed at how some American friends on here, Facebook, get so wound up because someone burns a flag. It's just a piece of cloth. Just shrug about it, and if it loses the reaction, people won't bother doing it anymore. But yes, I will miss Liz.
That actually seems like a fairly balanced approach.
Exactly.
You know, and
exactly. And
you remember when George H.W. Bush selected Dan Quayle as his running mate, and all of a sudden, whether you liked Bush or not, the entire people of the Republic said, "Well, you know, if he gets to be president, I'm going to pray for him every day because Dan Quayle." Heartbeat away. She surrounded herself with people who were or turned out to be odious enough that it made her look very good. I mean, especially
or incompetent. Yes, go ahead,
especially her cousin, you know, her husband.
But I gotta do something
because we've been irreverent, and Kim in New York was kind enough to find something for us so that we could have maximum irreverence here. And well, you know me well enough by now, Darlene. There's never a bad moment for a Bugs Bunny clip, right?
Yep, never. Of course.
King indeed. Dost thou takest me for a fooler?
No, really. He approacheth thee in now, or yon Chevy Chase.
I ignore you.
But it's honest and truly him. Look, it's the king. His most royal majesty cometh. Sound the welkins and blow the
trumpet. I love the fact that the sheriff begins to sweat.
Look, the king. Oh, mighty king.
Ooh. I shall probably hate if myself cometh the dawn. Where, liar? Huh?
The racing.
Presenting his most royal majesty, the king.
By the way, Bugs is wearing pink tights when he appears as the...
The king! Your majesty.
The sheriff of Nottingham, in gratitude for your faithful service, I shall knight thee.
Your most gracious majesty.
In the name of my most royal majesty, I knight thee. Arise, sirloin of beef. Arise, Earl of Cloves. Arise, Duke of Brittingham. Arise, Baron of Munchausen. Arise, Essence of Myrrh, Duke of Magnesia, Quarter of Ten.
It's the Quarter of Ten that kills me.
London Bridge is for...
Sechmu of Armstrong.
That's fantastic, because that's what I was talking about. It's all that elevating the minutiae. The British are the best at it. You know, you mentioned the
Earl of Cloves,
the Hearst. Okay, that fucking thing is a freaking Mercedes. Okay, but what was interesting was that the British were talking about how the label they had the label the name of the funeral company that was all of this hauling her around, there was a label or a decal in the lower left-hand corner of that huge window where you can see her coffin. It was removed. They said, oh, the label has been removed. Because, you know, it was sort of like, that's the thing your eye went to. I was like, oh, it began with a P, the name of the funeral company. Like, oh, it's something. I'm like, oh, look at that. That's the name of this about. They got
because if they'd left the decal on there, then the next thing you know, they would have had a billboard up at the funeral home saying, by appointment to Her Majesty the Dead Queen. And it would have been like a bottle of gin. Yeah. By special appointment to Her Royal Majesty the Queen, who likes a Singapore sling at about 4 o'clock.
The label has disappeared, mysteriously disappeared. But I think he's going to have big problems, because already in Australia they're like, you know, we need to, you know, we need to get rid of being part of the Commonwealth, I think whoever listens from Australia can correct me on this, but the Prime Minister said we're not going to do that right now. We're going to respect we're going to respect this time and the Queen and her service. Scotland, I don't think has been overly, she loves Scotland, and that's where she died. But more than likely, Ireland is probably going to say, all right, we're done. I think he's going to have a tumultuous reign. I think a lot of countries are going to start saying, fuck you, we want out. Now, there's already a big issue with this diamond. I'm sure you've seen that. It's the Cullinhor.
The Koh-i-Noor. Yeah, the Koh-i-Noor. It sounds like something from Planet Vulcan.
Yeah, from Star Trek. I believe it's from India, and they're already called. They want that diamond returned. It's in her crown, and I think it's in the crown. It might be the coronation crown, the one that's resting on her coffin right now. Which is claimed to have been a gift. It was gifted to her. But who knows?
Yeah, just like the ring was Gollum's birthday present.
Yeah, and this is a big-ass freaking diamond. And there's another one, one of the other crowns, if it's not the coronation crown, they have this incredible red spinel, which they call a ruby, but I believe it's actually a spinel, which can be it can be even worth more than a ruby. I'm sure your friend Terry would know more about that, but it's a freaking huge red uncut spinel. It's gorgeous, and it's in one of the crowns. She's going
curiously enough, in the world of precious gemstones. Sapphires and rubies and emeralds are actually far more rare than diamonds. Diamonds are an artificially created market. They're fairly common. I was going to add one thing relative to the Koh-i-Noor. One of the problems is that India wants it back, but so does Afghanistan, and so does Pakistan, and so does Iran, because that thing has sort of bounced around the empire has been subject to conquest and whatnot. And of course, you know,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. The kindly empire will say, well, since you can't agree on it all, I suppose we'll just hold it in trust for you. You know, kind of like every blessed thing in the British Museum. Oh, you'd like, you'd like the Elgin marbles back. I certainly understand that. But, you know, you're rather unstable at the moment. And, well, we're whiter than you are. And no one's likely to bomb the British Museum. But, well, look what happened to the Parthenon now, really.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because my recollection is the first article I saw about this diamond, I thought it was an African nation. that had that was not India, but that had said that they that it was that they wanted it back. And I thought, and that may be where it originated, because you know somebody had pointed out in defense of Queen Elizabeth, you know, what nation hasn't been, you know, hasn't been colonized or taken over by another nation, you know, or plundered.
Yeah, that's true.
You
know, but the, I mean, but the British, but darling, the British were the British were the best at it, though.
Yeah, I mean,
India alone.
Oh, they were very good.
India alone, they looted to the tune of $45 trillion, or maybe it was pounds.
Well, I mean, she didn't do any. She didn't do any. I mean, she helped try to hold on to things. And when a country said, you know, we want out, they worked things out. I don't know if she herself necessarily colonized or plundered a country. I'd like to think she didn't. And she did do a mea culpa at one point where she said, you know, hindsight 2020, we shouldn't have done certain things that we did. I think she was getting by pretty much on history and likability alone, but I don't think people feel that way about Charles. And as a matter of fact, a lot has been coming up. This has been raising up the specter of Diana, because one of the things that on the Royal Channel, because I go onto YouTube and this Royal Channel like has 24/7 coverage, right? They have a chat rolling that is high speed. I mean, it's fucking high speed, where people are just making comments through the chat in the right-hand sidebar, in the sidebar. And there's a lot of spamming going on. But when I was watching at one point, every 2 seconds, people were saying, Diana, 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 Princess Diana. And this is bringing, that's dredging that all up. And if my friend from across the pond is indicative of anything, there is a significant, or at least a segment of the British population that hates him and hasn't forgotten how shitty he was to his wife, his first wife. And one of the things, I was watching an old, I was watching a video on YouTube last night. I just thought, oh, I'm not going to watch it. And then I got kind of caught up in it. But it was a voice coach for Diana who taped her and put her, you know, got her to agree to just be very candid. He was trying to give her voiceless. And he helped her claim her voice. And when she started going, you know, out there to give voice to the landmines, HIV, AIDS, all of that stuff. He helped give her, help her with her voice. She was actually an extremely intelligent woman. She was very bright, but she had been put down all her life and wasn't as educated, you know, or certainly Chuck there didn't see her as his intellectual equal. But one of the things is when she was dealing with his cheating on her with Camilla, she went to the queen. She asked for an audience with the queen. And she said, I was scared to death of her. You know, she was gutsy because she was scared of Camilla, but she confronted Camilla. She was extremely gutsy for somebody that was demure and would admit, you know, she was brought up in a very dysfunctional home. And she approached the queen and I think was hoping for some support and advice and to get the queen to basically arm twist Charles to stop cheating, which, by the way, his father, Prince Philip, gave him the okay to have an affair with Camilla on Princess Diana. So according to Diana, Queen Elizabeth said, I don't know what to do. Charles is hopeless. Charles,
oh dear,
is hopeless, is what she said about her own son. Charles is hopeless. That's what Diana claims the Queen said about the future King of England. he is quote unquote hopeless. You're just going to have to just deal with it. And Diana's like, that was just not an acceptable response. So, you know, that's what she said, you know, that's not acceptable. But doesn't a mother know her own kid the best?
I would think sure. I mean, think about that off the cuff quip from Mary Trump, you know, Nitwit Nero's mother, where she was caught on an open mic.
What have we done? Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of monster have we made?
Yeah, exactly. So I think he was not liked, certainly not as much as his mom, as his mummy. And I think that we're going to see a situation where, you know, there's going to be, you know, quite a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for, is that there's going to be a lot of countries going AWOL. And I think they still harbor, there's still a lot of resentment over that horrid Camilla, you know? Yeah. And, you know, she...
Sorry, it's kind of like the Frau Blücher thing in Young Frankenstein. Every time you say Camilla, I have to go...
and again, they're shitting all over Prince Harry and Meghan.
Oh Lord, yes, yeah.
So,
and one of the things I wanted to point out is, you know, relative to Chuck, when he turned out to be the philandering asshole, you know, of course with Daddy's permission, that he was, Elizabeth was kind of in a bind. Because it's not like she had a lot of other royals to choose from to replace him with as Prince of Wales. I mean, you're talking about a mother. Well, about a mother knows her son. Let's talk about Andy. I saw a video the other day that I don't know. Maybe it was a deep fake. Maybe you've seen it, but it's just this brief clip of Prince Andrew, like bending down. He's bending down like at a flower bed or something.
Yes, I know.
And
what
he
you're
runs
saying.
His hand over his own daughter's butt.
Daughter's ass. Yes, I.
And I'm like, no wonder you and Epstein and Nitwit Nero were pals. And I immediately thought of the picture of Nitwit Nero
Eugene.
With the.
Eugene. Yeah.
Yeah, but Nitwit Nero sitting with Iwanka, fully a teenage girl. On his lap, and the concrete sculptures of the parrots fucking.
Yes, and Eugenie was actually upset. She was overcome with emotion. They were out there doing the surveying of all of the flowers, and you know, it's a good thing for florists, I guess, when something like this happens. Because there's like a gazillion flowers and things that people buy. And they've been, when Diana died, it was stretching out into, in Buckingham Palace, it was out into the street. And I guess that they've been keeping it under control. They're putting it in a park. They're putting all the flowers in a park. So there's still some there, but they learned from the past. But yeah, she was overcome with grief. And he put his arm around her. She was crying on his shoulder, and then he knelt down to look at something, and his hand runs all the way down her back.
Yeah, no, I mean,
right down her butt.
Ew!
And I was like, ooh, that.
Cue the banjo music.
I wouldn't have probably thought much of it. Maybe just a hand slips, but for the fact of the scandal, which, by the way. And they're arresting these people, which is very interesting. They call them anarchists or anti-royalists, I think. But in Scotland, you must have heard when they were walking slowly with her, with her hearse and her coffin there, as they were going to, I think it was called Giles Cathedral or Giles Cathedral. Somebody screamed out at Prince Andrew that he should be arrested, that he was a pedophile and should be arrested. That was the one thing that was like, it was a heckler. And I think they arrested this guy and they arrested some other person they call an anti-royalist, which is interesting that you'd be arrested for that kind of a sentiment.
Oh, no, those laws are still very much on the books.
We're getting to that point.
Yeah. But
very much on the books. So,
going back to Scotland for just a second. In fact, Annette and I were talking about this a couple of nights ago. She was like, well, why did she die in Scotland? I said, well, my best guess is, you know, they said, oh, it's a favorite castle. But given the strength of the...
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Given the strength of the Scottish independence movement, having her die in Scotland, everything she did was a PR move. She was a genius at it, and so by dying in her beloved Scotland, would hopefully blunt some of the impact of the people who would now be saying, ugh, it's time we got free of the old bat. And hopefully take the wind out of the sails of the independence movement.
That is possible. I mean, they portrayed it as, you know, because they have, you know, the palace, the firm, if you want to know, as Meghan Markle called it, you know, had a pretty good relationship with the press. They portrayed it as, you know, at Balmoral, she could be free. She could be herself. You know, she got out of Buckingham Palace pretty quickly after Prince Philip died, and which was a year and 6 months, right? He shuffled off. But there was quite a few people. I mean, in the countryside, when they left Balmoral, there wasn't a hell of a lot of people lining the roads. But as they got into Edinburgh, there was the crowds were huge. So you could be right, you know, or, you know, she's throwing that out there, maybe because she knows her son is in that. I don't know, you know, what she feels about how she feels about William. She knew William as being far more capable, and clearly with Kate is very capable, but they don't, you know, there's quite a bit of, he's got a bit of a weight, but my understanding is King Charles is not healthy. He's not a very healthy man. So I think his reign is going to be short. I think he's going to be confronted with a lot of pushback. And I don't think it's going to be as smooth for him. I think that people feel that Princess Diana should be the queen, the, you know, rightful heir, not Camilla, who is, I don't think Camilla's a commoner, though. I know Kate is. But it's interesting because, you know, she, Queen Elizabeth, relaxed a lot of these rules that were in place that made her queen, because if her uncle could have married a commoner, she never would have been queen, because, you know, he left the monarchy to be with Wallace Simpson in the United States. And it's interesting that
to go
Diana's
and visit
son,
that lovely Mr. Hitler.
So, but, you know, she permitted, both William and Harry, you know, she allowed them to marry commoners, essentially. And, you know, by commoners, you know, Kate is from an extremely wealthy family, you know, so this is anyway, I guess that there's some history being made with a royal that we don't hear much about. And I do feel bad for her children. You can see they're grief-stricken that she's gone. They are. They're grief-stricken. Princess Anne is coming into the news quite a bit. She was as snarky and as her mother. But apparently she made history with that whole thing that they do where they guard the coffin. And they stand there with their backs to the coffin. So all four of her children were there with other Scottish guards in Giles Cathedral. And I guess that Princess Anne was the first woman to ever be permitted to do that. In the history of the monarchy, she is the first woman to ever stand guard over the monarch's coffin. And she's not left her mother's side. She's been there the whole time. And you could see she's not doing well. Maybe you could see she really loved her mother. So, so that was like a history-making moment there. 20 minutes where they stand and guard the casket.
Well, she even accompanied the coffin on the great big transport plane.
Yes, she was there for the six-hour drive. She's not left her mother's side. I think it's going to be pretty. She probably would have made a better monarch than Charles. It's just that she was barely. I mean, they're basically barely a year apart. So, the other thing that's popping up is a lot of Brits they like having a queen as opposed to a king. And a lot of Brits are saying on the news and elsewhere that they're not used to the idea of having a male.
I did love that one. I love that one meme that said, "This wokeness has gone too far. The British royal family is going to let a dude be queen."
Yeah, that's just about right. You know, they like, you know, and of course it was rare. I think there's only been six queens, and of course they're going to have to get used to it. Because, you know, at least technically for the next, you know, counting Charles, there's three generations of male heirs to the throne. Although I have a very odd feeling, I don't know why I think Charlotte's going to be queen. I don't know why I feel that way, but you heard it here first. I think she's going to ascend to the throne.
All right,
because
mark it down.
Yeah, mark it
queen,
down.
Queen
I said
Charlotte.
It on the stage. Queen Charlotte.
And it goes Chuckles, Billy, Georgie.
Yeah.
So far.
And George, you know, basically Charlotte keeps her brothers in line. I mean, Louis, he's awesome. Hey, that kid is, he hates the pop. I think he's going the way of Harry. I really enjoy him. That kid he's the one that makes all the funny faces, and he slouches. He hates all of this stuff. The kid is just, you know, it's got to be miserable for these kids, you know. But Charlotte, you know, they've caught Charlotte whacked her brother at one point, George, who's in line for the throne, because he had his arms or hands out on the balcony railing, and she's like, put your hands down, you know, and that's everybody saw that. She's like, put your hands down. You know, she whacked me.
That's adorable.
It's adorable. She's cute, you know. She's cute. She likes spiders. Charlotte, get it, you know.
Yeah. And Charlotte's web. I was there.
You were there. You saw it. So, anyway, you know, we've got how many more days? She isn't going to be buried till next Wednesday. I think it is, or Thursday.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm pretty sure that coffin is it's actually it's a vacuum inside there, so all the air has been sucked out, and in order to create an anaerobic environment. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco wrote in and said, subject line: royal blood. When you're raised to believe you have some kind of divine bloodline that must be kept pure, it's not a stretch to think inbreeding is an option. Yeah, but we get the hell in Appalachia, right? Yeah. There should be a no, that's you know, when you see Chuck's ears, there really should be the King's Own Royal Banjo Trio or something. You know, instead of God Save the King, ding ding ding.
Well, you know, he has developed a sense of humor, or maybe he always had one and it's just coming out, but he had said that, you know, all the busts that have been done of him, the sculptures, he said, you know, God damn it, they've always gotten my ears right. You know, it's kind of like Obama saying that, you know, I told the person who painted his portrait, you know, he's like, you know, can you not make my ears so prominent? But he said no. And it was funny because at that ceremony where, you know, Michelle hit it out of the park, as she usually does, you know, it was hilarious because I was waiting for the tan suit. When they unveiled that portrait, I'm like, it's got to be a tan suit. Got it. And no, it wasn't. And he said, well, he goes, the portrait artist talked him out of it wearing a tan suit for the portrait, which would have been hilarious. But, you know, nobody wore a tan suit better than President Barack Obama.
Oh, and no president before ever had, even though there were pictures of Reagan wearing it. Right. By the way, going back to the Koh-i-Noor diamond, Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, I'd much rather it stay at the British Museum where I know I can go and look at it whenever I please. If it were to go back to Iran, it is highly likely it'd end up in some greasy mullah's personal collection. Not necessarily untrue, but I got a cowbell here.
Yeah.
That's for Lady B. Oh, my God. We can always count on her. Subject line, oh, Ken Starr died. Get the hockey puck, Darlene. This is past Lady B gold. This is Lady B platinum. Maybe he should be buried in Monica Lewinsky's blue dress because he sure was interested in where Bill Clinton left his spooge.
Is there anything above platinum? I don't know.
That needs to be some sort of national campaign. Bury Ken Starr in the blue dress.
Oh, jeez. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Queen was cremated? And that we're all thinking our body's there? Probably not, but I was just wondering. I was like, I wonder if she's cremated. I wonder if her body's even in there. And that was a question I asked with RBG. You know, not that they're the same, but
no,
I'm just
but
saying.
But yeah. after Ivana Trump, you know, they put an urn in a box and.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah.
See, Darlene, when you're a British royal, though, you can't be cremated. You have to be buried somewhere, because 500 years from now, somebody with ground penetrating radar will say, oh, by Jove, I think these are Liz's bones. You know, just like they did with was it Richard III under a parking garage?
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because I saw a quick headline. I did not have a chance to read the article, but I saved it, that there was a discovery of an almost completely preserved buried body. Did you see that? It was an archaeological find. And they're thinking it was soil that naturally preserved this body with fairly well, with some of the skin, most of the skin and everything. And then, of course, you know, I think about the stories about Abraham Lincoln, who, you know, they carted around on a train.
And people took little bits
time.
Of him.
You, I didn't know that part, but
oh yeah, there are like locks of Lincoln's hair. The doctor who treated him after he was shot clipped off a lock of his hair and kept it.
Oh yeah. Everybody was you know, it's kind of like what they did to Einstein, right? So he swiped his brain. But my recollection is that Lincoln's body was not decaying. Have you heard that? I've read stories about that where it was like preserved extremely well. and that when they were carting him along on this train, you know, his body was preserved well, and they're like, oh, you know, there's something supernatural with that. But anyway, I digress. It's morbid. I feel bad, you know, people, you know, really, I feel bad. I feel bad she died. I feel bad. I figured, you know, a lot of people thought she would make it to 100, 101 because the Queen Mother lived that long. And, yeah, I do. I feel bad. But I think Charles is going to have it tough. I think people aren't that thrilled with him. And if his own mother said he's hopeless and basically, you know, I use incompetent, you know, they got problems, you know. Oh, and just the minutiae, you know, a friend of mine, my friend from Canada, was friends with a friend who is Canadian that actually was hired by Buckingham Palace to make the tea, the 4 p.m. tea for Queen Elizabeth. And according to this individual, there was a list of like 50 things that had to be done just right in preparation for the tea. And it was not anything, and this is why, you know, the British are great at just elevating the minutiae. I really give them credit for it. I don't mean this, I don't mean to be facetious, but it was just, the spoon had to be a certain height. It had to reach a certain heat level. It had to be served a certain way. There was a whole list of shit that they had to do before they put that teacup in front of them at 4 p.m. It was very, very specific. So the protocol was such a degree that you have to assume, okay, that Meghan Markle isn't going to know this shit. She's not going to understand this shit. She's not going to care about this shit. And this is the fault of husband Harry, because my guess is he didn't want to burden her with this shit. And she was an easy target, not because of her skin color wasn't right. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't devoid of melanin enough.
It wasn't acceptable.
But, and again, I put my money on Camilla. It was Camilla that said, well, how dark is the baby going to be? I guarantee you it's that bitch. But she doesn't know protocol. She doesn't know it. She doesn't care to know it. And she's an easy target for the British press because she, you know, the whole thing about her wanting to accompany her husband to Balmoral as the Queen lay dying. And they refused her admittance because Princess Kate didn't go. So you can't let her go. But she, more than likely, she just didn't know the protocol. The poor kid, you know, I say kid because, you know, I've got probably 17 years on them. She doesn't know. She just wants to support her husband, and she liked Queen Elizabeth. She said the Queen was always good to us. She was wonderful to us, and we could just pick up a phone and call her without all this other stuff. We have to go through all these channels just to make a phone call to Grandma or to mother-in-law. You know, she doesn't know. And this is Harry's fault for not really telling her and, like, you know, you know, beware. There's a lot of minutiae involved here. But the British press picks on her. How dare she want to go to Balmoral when Princess Kate couldn't go or was unable to go because she had to stay with the kids? It's. I think it's far more innocent. And, of course, there's Australians who are in support of the royals. They're like, well, you know, once you get an American involved, this is the stuff that happens. So it's a way for them to bash us, you know, because we're so crass and uncouth and anti-royal, but whose country?
You know, and we don't know which fork to use with the locks. Yeah, we don't know which fork to use with the locks, vomit canapes.
Well, yeah. If you've got like 20 of them in front of you on either side of your plate, what the fuck do you use? Well, whose country is sending their only titular head to the funeral. The United States, my understanding is Biden and Jill, Dr. Jill, Joe and Dr. Jill, they're the only ones that are a leader, I think, attending. My understanding is I could be wrong. I'm surprised that Justin Trudeau isn't going because he really loved her. He knew her as a child when, you know, his father was running Canada. But my understanding is it's only, if any of the Horn listeners know for a fact of this, but I saw a headline that just only the United States is going to be present in terms of head of state. I did see that, you know.
Has Nitwit Nero grunted about not being invited yet?
Probably. I didn't see, I did see that headline that, you know, they were very clever and that they said you can't bring any former presidents. So they nipped that in the bud. They were pretty clever to nip that in the bud because, you know. So anyway, I could go on and on, but it's obviously, you know, the big news of the week. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how King Charles III, the turd, how that all shakes out. But, you know, the photograph of her, where she's at Balmoral ready to receive that horrid Liz Truss is just a horrid thing.
Oh, she's awful.
Oh, isn't she awful?
She's awful. She's awful. Did you see her hands? The Queen's hands, they were purple. They were almost black.
Oh, my
color,
God.
Like purple, black.
Circulation
yeah,
was
so
down to nil.
It leads me to believe there was something going on with the blood. You know, not that it's a bastion of truth, but Radar Online says they think she had blood cancer. You know, but she liked, apparently, Balmoral was her own personal castle. The other shitty thing already that's happening with Charles is apparently all of the people that worked with him at the city, wherever he lived, they're all losing their jobs. He gave them notice because now he has to move to Buckingham Palace so that they have a whole other group of servants and people there. But one of the things that I've always been confused about, because Meghan brought it up and it's been brought up, quote unquote, the firm. It's like, it almost made it seem as though even Queen Elizabeth had no control over whatever this protocol was. It's almost like there's some sort of an overseeing body that basically dictated protocol and she was bound by it. I don't know what this amorphous group of that makes up the firm is, but apparently it exists. So I don't know if you have any insight, but that was something I was always rather confused about.
Well, I thought it interesting that she used the term the firm because of the famous novel by John Grisham of the same name, which is about a law firm that is murderously crooked.
It could be. That's kind of what I thought as well. It sounds like that novel. But they call it the firm. So, you know, and of course, Diana believed that she was a target, you know, for murder. So there's something there, and it's like a deep, well, you know, talk about a deep state, right? You know?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, you know, birds of a feather and all of that. I mean, there's a certain camaraderie among monarchs. The dictatorial monarchs of the Middle East were among the first to reach out and say, oh, you know, it's terrible when one of our own passes. And of course, the cue balls and whatnot, and whatever the predecessor to the cue balls were, you know, they've been barking and grunting about the Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove and then the Rothschilds, you know, for decades, you know, eons. And
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine, oh, what? Her hands were purple and almost black? Well, that's because she hadn't had her adrenochrome from the baby blood for a while.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I mean, you know, look, Putin loved her. He immediately sent condolences. Trump loved her. But, you know, these are guys that love the concept of aristocracy. You know, Trump would love to be king, right? Putin, same difference. You know? So she represented something to them that they clearly aspire to. And she, you know, she engaged in soft diplomacy. She welcomed them. You know, she was apolitical. I saw a headline that Charles won't be liked here in the United States because he's quote unquote too political because of his stance on
climate change.
Climate change. Yeah. So, you know.
I'm guessing he and Camilla won't be attending the Kentucky Derby. They'll try to put silks on Camilla. God,
yeah,
I'm just relentless with her tonight.
Wear the hat. Well, she's nasty. She shouldn't be where she is. She shouldn't be, you know. I mean, you know, look, on the flip side, he couldn't push back at Mummy. She was pushing the marriage with Diana because Diana was, you know, he needed to get married. She was aristocracy. He was really in love with Camilla. Camilla was just a freaking bitch who basically was looking for somebody she wanted to be cared for.
Oh, the whole thing's positively, you know, Shakespearean.
It's disgusting. And, you know, she sent him a letter. Hey, I'm getting married. I'm getting married. She bailed on him because, you know, and she charmed him. And, you know, here is this demure child. You're talking this, you know, what, almost a 20-year difference between him and Diana, who I think Diana really adored him and wanted it to work and expected fidelity.
Well, she was a princess and damned well wanted to be treated like one.
Well, yeah. And she, you know, and you know, she knew she was going to end. She, you know, you have to wonder because she found out the day before the wedding he was cheating on her with Camilla. She knew it that day. And she went to the wrong person. She went to her sister. I think it was her sister who dated Charles and said, "I think I'm gonna back out. He's cheating on me with." And the sister said, "You can't do that. There's millions of people relying on this marriage to go through. Everybody's there. It's waiting. You know, the dress is bought."
Have you seen that rock?
Yeah. Have you seen the rock? Shit. You know. And you know, you can see she was not herself that day. And by the way, I'm just saying, I'm going to throw this out here, Kate. I think Kate was drugged up the day of her wedding. I'm just going to say that she looked like she was on some sort of medication.
She looks like she's been. She's looking a little not okay lately. Like lost too much weight.
She's always been. Yeah, she's extremely thin. She's been that way for years. But on her wedding day, she looked like she was not wasted. But, like, she looked like they had given her a sedative and
gently,
something enough
gently tranquilized.
Exactly. I'm telling you, people, check it out. Look at the old videos. She looks like
Xanax
she looks
and
like.
The orange so. Juice and cheers.
So, anyway, from royalty to Lady G, Lady G to royalty. Yeah.
And don't forget Dead Ken Starr.
And, oh, boy, that's just the cherry. Oh, man, is that the cherry on a Sunday? You know, it couldn't happen to me. And you said it was due to some sort of a medical mishap?
Yeah, it was. He bit it after a procedure at Baylor St. Luke's Hospital in Houston. Baylor, you know, the same university where he looked the other way at rape.
Wow, what is it going to be, a lawsuit like malpractice or something? Boy, that's just a shitty way to go, huh? 76, but 4. And was I given something the opposite of a cowbell? Did you say something like that?
Yeah, you got the opposite of a cowbell. You got the opposite of a cowbell. Yes.
For what? What did I do?
Not they. You. Where is it?
Yeah. What did I do?
Oh no! I know. when you brought up the fact that that Ken Starr creepered on Monica.
That's not my fault. That's what she said.
I know. Just
that's what
people,
she said
but,
in the interview.
But
it was
you
gross.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
People didn't necessarily know that, and it was a rough thing to handle here in the dinner hour in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone.
Yeah. Well, don't shoot the messenger. You know. Opposite of cowbell.
Well, but then you doubled down and talked about him seductively caressing Monica's elbow and arm.
That's what she said. She said it was really creepy, the way he was touching her elbow and arm. It was like he was rubbing it and caressing it. That's what she said. She goes, she got really creeped out.
That's two full body cringes in one program, Darlene.
Exactly. Ah. Well, come on. The Clinton thing is pretty. You know, that's pretty. That's up there. That the Clinton thing is up there.
It was gross. Bill was gross.
No. Ken was. Dennis Starr was. He was living vicariously through all of that. That's just.
Ken Starr. Brett Kavanaugh with the door closed, looking at pictures, going, oh.
But let's go one step further. Brett, he wanted to bring that all out.
Yeah, he wanted it all out there. Yeah.
All out there. It's like, you know, this prurient, is that the right word? Prurient kind of,
yes.
You know, interest in this and other people's sex lives. Again, it's a very Republican thing. Where they what bathroom you're going in, what your private parts look like. You know what you're doing in the privacy of your bedroom, what you're doing in the privacy of the doctor's office, what you're doing with the privacy of, you know, your reproductive organs, which just always seems to never center on men or include them. It's only, you know, the women's. It's sick and twisted and toddler-like, and, you know, it's like toddlers playing with the shit, you know, which you can't really crucify them for that because they don't know any better. But, you know, these older GOP types, they're supposed to know better. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It'll be interesting to see how the GOP, you know, the adulation and how they attempt to elevate Ken Starr. It's going to be sickening, so hang on to your hats.
Well, the best part of this is, though, is that it will probably, you know, they're not going to haul his ass around like a Grateful Dead show for a while, so they'll have him in the dirt and funeralized. But I better not see Barack Obama or anybody, any former Clinton administration. I don't want to see a goddamn Democrat at his funeral.
Oh, I hope not. You know, please don't.
You want to bet?
You
want to bet?
You asshole.
Yeah, I know.
what's his, you know, Dick Durbin. Please don't.
Joe Manchin.
Don't.
But you know, well, you know who I'll, you know who I'll be looking for in the crowd at the funeral. Maybe even delivering a eulogy.
Brett. Oh well, yeah, that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Probably all of them. Brett. Alito.
I wonder if they'll let. I wonder if W and Laura will come out for it.
Probably. McConnell? Probably. Ew. God. It's just, oh, God. Well, like I said, like I had emailed you, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. A nicer perv. Maybe I should have said it that way. I should have written it that way. Couldn't happen to a nicer pervert. Well, you know, our victories are few and far between, but they are victories. So, you know, goodbye, Ken Starr. Don't let the, you know, what is it? I don't want to let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. So, yeah.
And bury him in that damn blue dress. I'm really enamored of that. Bury him in the blue dress.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Well, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, yeah. Scott yeah. chimed in when we were talking. Royal care and feeding requirements. At least Camilla is low maintenance. Just verify the straps on the feed bag are secure and she's set to go. I wonder if Charles carries. Well, I wonder if yeah. Charles carries a pocket full of sugar cubes in his suit coat pocket. There you go, honey.
I think, like I said, you know, look, his own mother and his own mummy said he was hopeless. So, you know, I mean, if he hadn't been so shitty to Diana, if he stood up to his mummy and said, "Look, I'm in love with Camilla and I want to marry her. You need to make it okay." That would have been one thing. But he was just so brutal to that poor young woman. He was just brutal to her. Brutal. I'll tell you though. She had guts, man. She confronted Camilla Parker Bowles. She confronted her and she said, "I was scared to death of her." I mean, that's pretty brave. I was scared to death of her, but I said, you know, and I guess she claimed, Camilla said to her, You can have any man you want. You're beloved. You're stunning. You can have any man you want." And she goes, "Yeah." Diana said, "Yeah, I want my husband." Oh.
Ow.
Man.
Oh, by the way, you know. Camilla, what time is tea time?
Yeah, I like to love, you know, his mummy loves horses, so I feel bad for the little corgis. They're going to be stuck with Prince Andrew. Oh,
but, and you know, pets, no, and they've got to be, because she was apparently very fond of them, and I feel sorry. Well, I feel sorry for the corgis, sorrier for the corgis than I do chuckles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. We have more empathy for them, you know. More empathy for them. And, hey, at least the Congress, by the way, the Congress, I think it was the Senate today, they're trying to put in legislation so that when there's natural disasters, that there's things where you can help the animal. I think it was in the House, where you can help animals. The animals can be saved or at least also saved along with the people. I'm like, wow, that's... I don't know. I think the Republicans.
Yeah, I don't see a Republican introducing that, do you?
No. It was totally on the Democratic side, but I thought they supported it because, you know, it's an easy thing to support. And because people love their animals probably more than they love most humans. So, you know. But, yeah, I think big changes are afoot. And hopefully this country won't fall apart. And Joe keeps up the, you know, dark brand and stuff, because I'm liking it. And hopefully Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, I could have done without the inflation numbers today. Because
the 8%.
Plus. Yeah, that's all we're gonna hear.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of you know, like I was talking with Scott last night. It's part of the problems we have here. There is less income there's less money for people to kick along. I mean, we finally finished your challenge, and we finished half of Ralph's, and we're just sitting here waiting to finish. You know, $25 in the course of a 3-hour program. It's stressful.
It's very stressful. Yeah.
Shit gets started. Shit, they start taking, you know, turning shit off and taking stuff back. Brutal. I should have been born a royal.
Yeah, and then it would be just put in your lap.
Oh, and you know, right. And by the way, you know, you were talking about the Scottish antipathy toward the English crown.
Mm-hmm. And Irish.
Yeah, and Irish. Yeah. But from the Scottish standpoint, I get a little bit of that, because at one point in time, somewhere in the 18th century, the British royal crown hunted my ancestors. And that's how they wound up over here. Because they had an uncle who was over here who had been hunted by the British crown until he took ship after the first Jacobite rebellion. That's the other thing. We're not real good at backing the wrong... I mean, you can't say we backed the wrong horse, the idea of liberty and freedom and wanting to be your own country and things like that. I mean, sure. But those Kincaids barely evaded the headsman's axe.
Yeah, man, it's
after,
brutal.
Yeah, after Culloden.
Yeah.
You know, where Charles ran away.
Charles Philip Arthur George. Well, yeah.
I'm so glad he's not King Arthur. You know, if there's ever a, like, dashing English monarch with a full head of hair and, you know, not Road Company of Deliverance ears, maybe he can be King Arthur. You know, poor Billy. You know, he's not that old. And...
I know, Pattern Baldur's man, yeah.
Oh, it's hell.
Yeah.
Maybe he might.
And
want
I mean, Kate's a far better looking woman than he is a guy. Although I will say, I mean, when he was younger, he has his mother's eyes. There's no question about that. And the nice hair in the beginning, but the Windsors? The male pattern baldness set in for sure. Even with Harry, he felt a little bit more.
Yeah, some, but.
You know, they got their stadium baldness now. They're really great-looking people.
No, but they're Windsors, you know? For God's sake. He could have a hair transplant.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not according to protocol either.
Probably not. I mean, Queen Elizabeth was attractive. She wasn't gorgeous. She was actually a very average woman. You know, I read an article about how, you know, she was average-looking, average. Everything about her was average. It's just that the people of Britain elevated her or sanctioned somebody rather average to be a monarch. So, you know, and she handled it fairly well at a very young age.
And I wonder...
But she was like
every
other kid, you know.
And I guess she really, really loved her daddy. But now we have to deal with the Christmas a free people who fought a war to be shed of that bunch.
Yeah.
But you know, he'll be doing his the royal Christmas address or New Year's or something like that. And imagine that. It's gonna be the first time in nearly a century that a woman's voice has not been heard in that regard.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because, you know, women are, you know, kind of the downtrodden. But, you know, it's interesting because if you watch, there are some videos of Queen Elizabeth at various parties and events, you know, where she's hobnobbing with, you know, world leaders and stuff. Men still fucking talk over her. She's still mansplained in those videos. It's very interesting. You'll probably find them on YouTube. This is the Queen of fucking England. And she's still interrupted, basically ignored. It's very interesting. And it's when she's an older lady. It's not necessarily when she was really young. But, you know, she was still mansplained. Sorry, she was.
And you did hear the other day. We have a new term for mansplaining. Are you familiar with this?
No, I must have missed it.
Correctile dysfunction.
That's great. I like that.
Oh, I see. Your correctile dysfunction's acting up again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everyone. I mean, look, you know, even dudes that consider themselves progressive, they do it, too. It's part of the patriarchy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And women are, like, we kind of just sort of, you know. And if we call it out, they don't like it, but fuck them, you know? Got to call it out. Maybe one day you can train them and they'll learn. But like Queen Elizabeth said, he's hopeless. And helpless.
Oh God! After all the massacres and murders and everything, I have become more and more interested in, you know, sort of delving into the dark and derpy world of the incels. Holy shit, darling!
Now, okay, all right. Can you? I must have been away. What is an incel? I've been meaning to ask you, and I'm sorry that sounds like a dumb question at this point, but what the fuck is an incel? I can't find it. What does that mean?
Incels are, I mean, there's an entire Wikipedia entry on incel murderers. They are mostly young white men, and they have created this bizarre vocabulary in which women are referred to as femoids, or shortened to foids, F-O-I-D-S, and they are absolutely convinced that the world is broken into chads and incels and normies, and one is unable to escape one's incelness. This is known as taking the black pill, because of things like the circumference of one's wrist, or the slope of one's forehead, or the strength of one's chin. And women are only interested in chads, and chads are defined as like guys on an 8, 9, 10 scale. And then there are the normies and the incels, and they will never be laid, and they will never have a meaningful relationship with a woman. And they become basically a self-fulfilling prophecy because they stay there behind the keyboard pissing and along the way, and this is the hilarious part, they think they are experts about women. You're gonna hate me for this. I've been collecting a little bit lately. Here's a typical incel post about women. Advice to foids on how to take care of their vagina because they're too dumb to figure it out on their own, therefore require men to teach them. I hate myself. But they are so secure in their stupidity. It's breathtaking. Girls, when you put your tampons in, do it delicately. Too many of you pull the vagina to the side too roughly. Of course, doing that is going to cause the flaps to become worn and become loose and dangle. God damn, you are so stupid you can't even handle taking care of your vagina without men having to tell you what to do. Fucking idiots. That's just one.
This is serious.
Yes.
I think this is gooning, man. This is,
no, they are not.
It's all embedded in the patriarchy. And
yeah,
it's
but
like,
it's not. It's not.
Know.
No, they take this shit seriously.
Oh,
and they and they get into these echo chambers and they just affirm each other's patheticness. And then some of them go out and commit mass murders, and it's usually directed at women. Because they feel like they are entitled. They are entitled to sex with women, but because of the biological unfairness and the fact that even a 1 out of 10 woman is after an 8 out of 10 Chad, they never have a chance. It is real. It's astonishing. And just to peek in there, oh my God! And they are absolutely obsessed with women's anatomy, and at the same time, know absolutely nothing about it. Nothing. Flaps. Pull it to the side.
Fucking idiot.
I was messing with one earlier today, and he was talking about you know how to treat and he was from somewhere else, and he was talking about you know how women should be treated, and this guy was as serious as a heart attack, and. At one point, I commented along the way. Oh goodness me!
You actually engaged with this idiot?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
You're a glutton. The punishment. Okay. You're like Tara Devlin. She does the same thing as like, oh geez. I give you credit. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Okay. Here it is. So the original post is all about been trying to get girls since I was young, but all I get is rejection. I can't afford fashionable clothes, shoes, hairstyle, tattoo, any car. I've never had a girlfriend or a female friend. I'm sexually frustrated at this moment because I still can't get any girls at this age. All my friends and neighbors and classmates are now already married to super hot girls without even going to gym, and some of them even have kids. I'm way too behind than them. They don't invite me anymore because I still don't have a wife or a girlfriend and also no car. And it, like I said, the dude's probably from somewhere overseas. And my only comment on the post was, tell us you're single without telling us you're single. This has written from Mom's basement all over it. So then the little dude pops in and says, I have a bird right now, and I do a lot of things to give her a good life. I responded, parrot, cockatoo, raven, good. As long as you stay away from women, my dude. And he said, it's very clear what I meant. I said, I wasn't sure. Maybe you didn't mean a pet, but rather a domesticated fowl like a chicken or a duck, which you feed and nurture and control until you're ready to consume it. You know, a thing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, referring to them as girls, what are they, 12 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old?
I participated in a campaign to get this one asshole blocked. And his Twitter account suspended because because he was blathering on about the only hope that a guy has is to get a girl when she's about 14 and then you can imprint and pair bond with her.
God. See, this is what's frightening, and you know, it could be somebody who has, you know, a freaking Mercedes, like the goddamn hearse that's hauling Queen Elizabeth around. Because, you know, Epstein, you know, Prince Andrew, you know, there's a mentality. Oh my gosh. There's a mentality there that, you know, it's okay to fuck a girl, you know, at puberty or just after or whatever. It's disgusting. sometimes men have some weird fucking ideas. They really do. And they have their like a weird ideas in terms of sex.
And you know, Matt in San Francisco jumped in with something and said, mansplaining. I can't tell you the number of times in high-level management meetings that I was overtalked, mansplained, or my favorite, voiced my opinion or idea, only to have the straight white guy repeat what I said with a tweak or two and get credit for offering up a great idea. Guys do it to women and gay guys too. And I have no doubt of the truth of that. Shouldn't have brought up the incels. Well, where'd it go? Incels lament. Scott says, geez, pal, quit your bitching and write a country song. You've got all the makings. I even provided the title, Incels Lament. Randy Radar says, I've never heard of this sort of stuff about incels, and this from an asexual. Well, it's been around. I mean, oh, God, what was his name? Out in California, went and shot 7 or 8 women because he was just angry that because no one was just throwing themselves on their back and providing him sex. And oftentimes you'll see them, you know, the young white guys who shoot up places will also have been posting in incel forums. But, I mean, the best available list at this point in time is the Wikipedia list of incel murderers or incel killings. Let me see what it's actually called. I was looking at it just the other... Because, of course, these guys can walk into a gun store barking like a hyena, and they'll go, well, you look sane to me, and sell them five or, you know, two or three AR-15s. What's his name? Young hair Shittenhouse kind of had the makings of an incel about him.
Cawthorn?
No. Rittenhouse. Kyle.
No, I know, but I was wondering about Cawthorn, too.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe not.
And you talk about grooming. There's tons of grooming going on inside the incel movement. Elliot Roger, 2014, committed mass murder in California. Alex Manassian carried out a massacre in Toronto after calling for an incel revolution. The guy who shot up the massage parlors in the Atlanta area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Incel.
Yep.
It's beyond mere misogyny, as though one could say it. A member of an online subculture of people who define themselves as unable to get a romantic or sexual partner despite deserving one.
Despite deserving one.
Yeah.
I think that last part is a little off. This seems to, you know, I don't know. To me, the whole QAnon and all of that stuff probably legitimizes this kind of crazy shit. Conspiracy theories, it seems like it was boiling there.
Let's see. Elliot Roger killed 6 people, injured 14 others before killing himself in Isla Vista, California. Chris Harper Mercer killed 9 people, injured 8 others before killing himself in a shooting at Umpqua Community College campus in Roseburg, Oregon. Sheldon Bentley robbed and killed an unconscious man in an alleyway in Edmonton, Alberta. He said he was frustrated with stress from his job as a security guard and with being an incel for 4 years. William Atchison killed 2 people before killing himself, 2017, Aztec, New Mexico. Nicholas Cruz, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooter, posted, Elliot Roger will not be forgotten. Okay. Alex Manassian, vehicle ramming attack in Toronto, 16 counts of attempted murder. Scott Beerley killed 2 women, injured 4 women and a man at the Hot Yoga Tallahassee Studio in Tallahassee, Florida. Christopher Cleary got busted for his online threats. He got his sentence up to 5 years in prison for attempted threat of terrorism. Brian Isaac Clyde tried to start a mass shooting at Earl Cabell Federal Building and Courthouse in Dallas, Texas, 2019, but got shot down by the feds. Tobias Rathjen, Hanau, Germany, 2 shootings. Female spa worker stabbed to death in Toronto at a massage parlor. Armando Hernandez Jr., opening fire 2020 at Westgate Entertainment District in Glendale, Arizona. Self-identified as an incel, and he wanted to target couples. Let's see. Between January and the end of July 2020, 5 self-identified incels were arrested in separate incidents in North America for killing or planning to kill women. 19-year-old self-described incel arrested on federal charges after videotaping himself approaching women sitting outside a restaurant in Manhattan and telling them he was going to detonate a bomb. 21-year-old self-identified incel from the Buckeye State charged with attempting a hate crime and illegally possessing a machine gun, frequent poster on an incel website, wrote fanboy posts about the aforementioned Elliot Rodger. Plymouth, England, Jake Davison killed 5 people and then himself in a mass shooting August 12, 2021. This hasn't even been updated to include the spa massacre.
Well, these are stochastic terrorists, right? And
the ones who do the shootings are actual terrorists. The ones who promote this shit, and it happens at that internet self-harm site, and 4chan, 8chan, other places, and they are preying upon. And then there's, there's so many subvariants. It's such a mess. There's the MGTOWs, the men going their own way. And there's the so-called hookup artists. And they all gravitate, among other places, to people like Jordan Peterson and Pink Shrek, Joe Rogaine. They gravitate to Ben Shapiro, who said he hated the song WAP, and that Cardi B, there must be something wrong with her because his wife, his wife never gets wet. Oh God!
Oh, for fuck's sake!
And they're right wing as hell, because the left doesn't do this kind of stuff.
The FBI has a pretty shitty record when it comes to protecting women.
That term comes out of incel terminology.
Yeah, in other words, and the FBI sucks when it comes to protecting women.
Yeah. Well, look, we have...
The professional gymnasts will attest, and I hope they win their $1 billion lawsuit.
Oh, I don't know if you saw this, but a new lawsuit was filed in South Carolina recently against this massive dance and cheer school, which was basically just a grooming ground for the pervert, the sicko who ran it. And they finally caught up to him, and he offed himself. But the girls are still, the girls are still victims, and so this new suit is seeking money damages for what was done to them. And all of this is wrapped up together. you know, the assault on the assault on privacy rights, the disgust and loathing, you know, and such a handy word, the atavistic response to people who are trans and step outside the gender boundaries. It's all the drag queens. It's all of, you know, and generally, you know, the LGBT, the rest of the LGBTQ, QQIA plus spectrum. They're all of a piece. They all come from the same place. You know, the Republicans are howling and barking and grunting about groomers and pointing at the drag queens today. Well, 10 years ago, they were hollering groomers at the broader gay community, and particularly gay men. I don't understand. And the wild thing is that there are people on the so-called left, or who think of themselves as progressives, who go, "Yep." I'm like, are you not even paying attention?
And it's ramped up because, you know, drag queens in the gay community have been a pretty popular, even, you know, even straight people would go to see the drag queen shows. And, you know, I would visit my cousin up in E-Town. We had a blast going there to the various drag queen shows. And they were pretty much left alone. But not lately.
No. And, actually, you know, this has been going on for a while. There's an individual who used to be on this program from time to time. And I found out in 2019, early 2020, that he had gone total turf. And he was having conniptions about Drag Queen Story Hour. And at that point in time, I just kind of had to bite my tongue because it wasn't out yet. But at the same time, this guy considered himself a progressive.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not a surprise to me that there are people who are progressive on your show that I don't, you know, that I feel.
I mean, this was years ago.
Manning or the so this was years ago, or you know. Like you said, the correct which is disappointing. I mean, that's disappointing. When you look at the Jane Doe situation, I question the FBI and their ethics. And when it comes to women, I think it's sadly, it's a misogynistic organization. But when Angelina Jolie requested, she did a FOIA. I don't know if you heard about all that. The FOIA claim with the FBI about the incident on the plane with Brad Pitt that led to their, they're still divorcing. It's going on, 7 years now? She's pretty smart because she is winding down the clock with him until the kids, I think all of her kids are old enough to make their own decisions on whether or not they want to interact with him. So she's duking it with him and dragging this stuff out. But I don't know if you saw the stories on that. In my opinion, as somebody who worked for domestic violence organizations for over 23 years, they should have charged him. They let him off the hook until there's nothing to see here. You know, he was physically violent with her, threatening the kids. He damaged the plane to the tune of $25,000. He never should have been, they never should have said, well, you know, there's nothing to see here, and let him off the hook. They never should have done that. He should have been charged. And because he had a scratch on him, his own body, I don't know what the laws are, and it was international flight, I think. But she scratched a big fucking deal. And he charged at one of the kids because one of the kids, and you always listen to what the kids do. The kids will tell you the truth. But apparently one of the kids said, "It's not her, it's you, you prick." And he lunged at the kid, their child, one of their children, and she lunged at him from behind and did a chokehold. She was trying to protect her kid. And he physically threw himself backwards and slammed her into the plane seat and injured her. And for the eldest boy, who is quiet, he's quiet, and it's well known that he put himself in between him and his mother. He was scared for his mother's safety. And this is a quiet kid, the eldest boy, Maddox. For him to do that took a lot of courage. He was scared for his mother. That says all right there. And that they didn't charge this guy with domestic violence and abuse and put a fucking restraining order on him. Sounds to me as though the FBI got all, you know, starry-eyed here. So, you know, they don't have a very good track record, you know? To me, he should have been charged. He should have been charged. Brad Pitt should have been charged with battery, with assault and battery.
Well, I've got one more for you before we head out the door. I got one more for you. You're gonna love this. This is from the other end of the spectrum. A Brooklyn surrogate court judge who was forced to step down last December is trying to get her job back. She's still making her $210,000 a year salary without having to do anything.
That's nice.
Her name is Harriet Thompson. And like I said, while she's still enjoying her better than $200,000 salary, there are disciplinary proceedings ongoing, and she has a record of having said, "I hate these gay white men," and then being gay is an abomination to mankind. And one of her brethren on the bench, an openly gay judge, she called him fat now from all of the evil of what he's doing. But it's not just the homophobia. Harriet Thompson also said, "I do not like Hispanic people. They have a deceitful trait that goes way back to biblical times. The men are always stealing, and the women are no better. They lie, steal, and use their vaginas for anything they want."
This is a fucking judge?
Yep.
Wow.
And
who appointed her?
I'm not sure I'm not sure at all. And most horrifyingly, she's an African American judge.
Wow. Okay. That makes no sense.
There's a report out from the Inspector General for New York, and it's horrifying. And she's suing to be put back on the bench.
The justice system has been between that, what you're describing, and the Supreme Court, we can't count on it. We cannot. I mean, I always say there's two systems of justice, but when somebody like this who should, like what you're describing, who should know better.
It's just.
I suppose it's all about, you know, always wanting to elevate oneself by trying to find somebody else that they think is, you know, less than. I mean, the LGBTQIA plus community is no different. I mean, I encountered that. A good friend of mine who's gay, couldn't, you know, look down his nose at trans people and cross dressers, and, you know, that they were beneath him as somebody who's gay. You know, it happens.
You mean the pecking order? Sure.
Yeah, the pecking order. So what you're describing sounds like a similar situation there with a pecking order, you know. Well, we're not, you know, I may be black, but I'm not that, you know. Again, all stereotypical, and I don't know. It's a sign of a culture that's spiraling down.
Well, and it's also we're all screwed, Robin. It's also what happens, Darlene, when the woolly mammoths wander into the tar pit and they go, "Fuck, I'm sinking," and we're going to be fresh out of woolly mammoths at this rate, and they start trumpeting and bellowing to an uncaring sky. But the nice thing is, the longer we go, you know, the numbers, you know, the young people are not responding to the horseshit messaging of the GOP and the maggots for the most part.
Right.
We at our age have to do everything within our power to keep keep the maggots from destroying the country, so we can hand it over to the better generation.
And they can hopefully lift it out of the, and lift it back up. Yeah. Or lift it up.
Right. Well, Darlene, it's been a lovely conversation. I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah.
We haven't had a nice long conversation like this in a while. In fact, Jude wrote in a little bit ago and said, "Just arrived home, tuning into the horn, and there you both are. Warms my heart as you both have chosen to connect with yours truly. Friends are the gems of my life." The subject line was "Our two sisters engaging." That was sweet, Jude. Thank you, dear. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jude.
And earlier, Ralphs did say, "Come on, people, make me pay." So with 25 more dollars, we will actually get down to a $1,900 hole, which will be $2,200 when I get back on a week on Monday. So, fingers crossed.
I put out a plea. Please, people. Please. Do what you can.
Keep this happening.
You know. Keep this happening. We need Robin's voice and show. All right, my friend. I wish you a safe trip.
Thank you.
And do the things for mountaintop removal and bring that to an end.
And hopefully, I'm headed to Atlanta. I'm headed to Atlanta. And I will, I'll hopefully be able to post some pictures down there and like to visit with some old friends maybe along the way.
No way to do a program on the fly or?
No, I'd have to take the rig and the event itself goes until like 7:30 every night. So it's just, you know, not.
Yeah. Yeah, too much. Yeah.
When I leave, I mean, it's going to be a whirlwind. I mean, I'm not going to have any time to, like, you know, go to the Atlanta Zoo or the art museum or anything like that. It's just, you know, might as well be Poughkeepsie. Yeah.
Or stop by and pay your respects at the Queen's coffin.
Stop.
Everybody else in the world seems to be doing it. So. But, you know, keep posting on Facebook, you know. Donate to the horn. Pick up some.
I will. Thank you, Darlene. Have a good evening and a great week.
All right, Robin. You too. You take care.
Bye
now.
See ya. Bye. And so we come to the end of the evening. Thanks so much for that. And that we Darlene and I were just all over creation. That was wonderful. I love those wide-ranging conversations, and you don't get those anywhere else. Because, you know, there are more people out there who can hold their own in long-form conversation than just someone who's been dubbed an expert by the multimillionaire for-profit media. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks for getting us started so very much on finishing these on finishing these two challenges. It's so important. I just can't tell you how important it is. Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. And thank you, Don, in British Columbia. Thank you so much. Thanks to the challenges, Darlene, Ralphs. That's true. Terrace pointing out in regard to the thing. She did. With the Jesse Lee Peterson the Jesse Lee Peterson announcement. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new, fresh, and loyal on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. It's out there. And you shouldn't have to get another one for a year. Get that flu shot while you're at it at some point in the process. Good idea. Wear your masks when you're among the maggots. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for heaven's sake, if some little tiny hobbit dude from South Carolina with a tiara on his head comes walking down the road and says, you know what? We're going to be like all the other countries except Iran. Avoid that pathetic maggot like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 China, it's all for you. Later.